And for people to do well with meditation, and I think this is true for any of us, they have to have let go of hankering after their old selves. So we often put it quite bluntly, well, I do, that the option of turning the clock back to their pre-accident or pre-illness self simply doesn't exist. And actually, people don't do it all well if they're still thinking somehow they can do this course and they'll go back to being 16 and young and fancy free. Well, they won't get anywhere. But if they realise, oh, that's not an option anymore, then they do well. So basically, they've got two options. One is to be in pain and be miserable, and one is to be in pain with a sense of initiative in their lives. And that's also true for many of us. The dukkha is always going to be there for many of us in one way or another. Looking at an ageing order out there. So you can put it another way. And I think that this phrase comes from Christopher Reeves, actually. He's the guy who broke his neck, Superman, where he said, pain is inevitable, misery is a choice. Which I think is a very, very good little phrase. And of course this isn't easy. It's all very easy to sit up there and say it, but it's incredibly hard to hear and incredibly hard to put into practice. But it's the only way to move forward honestly. And actually there's a sort of relief when it gets stated bluntly. So you think, okay, that's the deal, I can work with that. Whereas if you sort of try and soften it all, it can all leak away somewhere. So recently at a continuation class, we did have a discussion, a really good discussion, about why do people keep meditating when their experience contains so much that is unpleasant. And a question we ask actually on the courses is, isn't meditation a masochistic thing to do if you've got pain? What a bizarre thing to do, to sit there and experience it. And but they, when we talked about it, and these are people who have just kept on meditating for several years, some of them, very, very committed and courageous. And they were all unanimous in talking about the relief of no longer running away. So their experience of life had been enriched enormously because they weren't running away anymore. So they may not have found happiness in any simple sense, but they have found contentment, peace, and a deep sense of authenticity. And these are all qualities which are priceless in their own way. And this ties in, I think, with when Pula Prabha talked about satisfaction. The satisfaction of not reacting to unpleasant Vedana. I don't particularly like happiness as being a goal, but I like satisfaction and contentment. I love those words as being a goal. So the other aspect of dying into the moment, which is really worth exploring, is that our experience can then be so much broader and richer in the moment. There's a Zen Buddhist in America called Darlene Cohen who's got rheumatoid arthritis, and she's written quite a bit about working with physical pain. But I think these principles apply to any dukkha, be it mental, emotional, or physical. And she talks about these two poles, and one pole is to acknowledge pain and the burden that it has on us. So don't deny it, don't pretend it's not awful. Acknowledge, yes, this is my experience in this moment, honestly. And the other pole is to enrich life so that dukkha or pain can no longer commandeer it. So you've got these two different aspects. And what she means by enriching life so pain can no longer commandeer it is broadening out our experience of the present moment. So that rather than pain or unpleasant Vedana being one of 10 things you are aware of in the moment, you make it one of 100 things. So we all have unpleasant aspects to our experiences, but if we're sensitive, there will also be a multitude of tender, pleasurable dimensions to the moment as well. So for example, the sun on the skin, the brush of the hair on your skin, feeling love for a friend, even having enough food in your stomach. There's lots of pleasurable things in the moment if we rest there long enough to experience them and we're not trying to push things away. So the moment broadens out and becomes very rich and inclusive. So if we live our lives like this, then it can become a succession of rich, multidimensional, sensitive moments where we're less reactive to likes, dislikes, pleasure and pain, and so on. And I was thinking in the workshop yesterday when Vivek was talking about rapture, how probably we've all got a little subtle experience of rapture going on all the time, but we just don't find it, we don't look for it. So I thought that was a really interesting point in relation to this as well. So this is where spiritual death becomes liberating. When we die to our old identities and our old selves from the past, and we let go of our fantasies and our hankerings for the future, we can come to rest in the here and now. And we can discover that this here and now is very rich and textured, and it's always changing and capable of being changed through choices and our actions. And I do believe this is the path of liberation.